What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Greetings, colleagues, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover, and today I'm joined by the lovely Dr. Jennifer Lyerly. Jen, how are you doing today?
I am holding up, Daryl. I am super, super, super close for this baby to get here, so I'm just making it through each day.
I know. What do you have, like 2 weeks?
Well, if she comes right on time, 3.
Okay.
But yes, I'm technically full term right now, so she could come tomorrow if she wants to.
So how are you making it through patient care every day? I mean, is it still easy, or are you experiencing a lot of back pain, feet pain? Just difficult to make it throughout the day. I mean, what's going on, Jay?
I mean, easily is a strong word, I would say. I feel really, really good. I just, like, my feet are not cute. I'm walking around on marshmallow-sized feet.
So. Marshmallow feet? That's a new one. I got to keep that one in mind whenever my wife gets pregnant again. But, Jen, we have a very exciting show in store for the Defocus Media family today because we're going to talk about a topic that you and I both love. YouTube.
Yes, I was so jazzed when you told me that we were covering this topic. So I know many of you guys are interested in learning, how do I connect with patients better? How do I get the word out about my practice and grow my business? And literally, there's no better way in 2019 to do that than through the power of video. So without further ado, please welcome to the show, Dr. Joseph Allen.
Hey guys, thanks for having me. This is really awesome.
So Dr. Allen, first, would you mind just kind of sharing a little bit about yourself and your background as an optometrist?
Of course, yeah. I grew up here in St. Cloud, Minnesota, which is, if you've never been there, it's like right almost dab in the center of Minnesota. Basically, from what, I was in second grade when I first got glasses. And then by the time I got into junior high, I actually got my first pair of contacts. And because of that, I was able to play sports. I was able to be in like football and wrestling. You start making more friends. You have a little bit more self-confidence. I even like got more attention from girls right at that age. It was like, that's all my life was. So obviously when I went to see my dentist, I hated that guy, but I loved my eye doctor every time I went to see him. So by the time I got into high school and I was like, what should I do? What should I do with my life? What should I go to college for? I'm just like, I love that career. I'm going to do that. And it's taken me all the way here where I am today.
Well, I love that story. Just like knowing that the optometrist is who instilled that self-confidence in you when you were going through that, you know, 12 years old is hard for men and women. In as a transitional time.
Oh, for sure.
And that doctor was the one who actually made your life better.
Very much so. I eventually shadowed that doctor in high school, again in college. He got me to shadow an ophthalmologist at one point when I was trying to make that decision, which way do I go? Yeah, eventually I found my way, got my OD degree from the Rosenberg School of Optometry in San Antonio, Texas in 2015. Then I did my residency at the VA Medical Center here in Minneapolis the year after that. And then I've been working at a couple different practices, but mainly at a private practice here in Buffalo, Minnesota.
So when it comes to practicing in today's society, marketing is very key. I mean, you see a lot of these disruptors coming in, and the only thing that really separates us from them is just really how they're marketing. I mean, they really know how to tackle it and use it from every angle. And as Jen had mentioned before, one thing that's major when it comes to marketing is video. I mean, video is paramount when it comes to putting yourself out there because that's what we like to see. That's what we like to look at, listen to, and learn from. Dr. Allen, when it comes to video and YouTube in particular, you are definitely the YouTube guru, especially of eye care professionals.
Thank you.
Can you just take it from the top and tell us how you got into YouTube?
Sure. Well, the thing was, you know, I'm a video guy. I've always been into both video gaming and movies, of course. And, you know, my generation has been watching YouTube since I was in high school. And I just know from, you know, I think every single optometrist or eye doctor, medical professional in general, how many patients come in, sit in your chair and tell me, oh, well, I looked this up online. Well, I Googled this. Oh, you may hate me, but I looked this up online, you know, and everybody thinks they have a tumor, right? Basically, I was kind of like, well, why are people getting all this bad information? You know, what if somebody actually had something good out there? So you do your research, and I went on YouTube and I'm like, gosh, everything on here is either old, looks like it's shot from a baked potato, the camera was bad, maybe the doctor was good, the information's good, but it's not entertaining to watch. The doctor's not looking at the camera. They're like doing an interview style. There's edits every 2 seconds. It's doesn't make sense.
Right.
So I was just kind of like, gosh, this would be great if there was, you know, honestly, I was laying on a couch watching a rerun of Elton Brown, Good Eats, if you've ever seen that show. The cooking show, right? Yeah. Have you guys ever seen that?
Yeah. And the old reruns have that very like throwback feel to it. It's kind of reminding me of some of these old YouTube videos you're talking about.
Yeah. But I was watching his cooking show and there's parts where he just breaks down, okay, this is the science of why milk boils when it's heated too hot. And I was like, I love the science aspect of that. I'm like, what if there was like a show or a complete like library of information about eye care, of the world that we know, that was factual, that was entertaining to watch, and really put kind of an emphasis on like the science of what's going on with the eye, with the products, you know, why is your doctor recommending this product versus another, and this is how it helps. You know, we have, there's people in our exam rooms every day who want to know these questions or want to know these answers, and we just don't have the time to spend an hour and lecture somebody on, you know, exactly how an anti-reflective works or exactly what macular degeneration looks like. So basically, I was actually at another clinic, and one of the students, we had the students at the time, and the student was, their significant other requested to have a kind of a video, a short video to play as a montage for his graduation. And they asked all the doctors to say something nice about that student. I'm like, of course. So I took a little selfie, shot it, and gave it to them. But one of the other doctors was like, wow, you were really good at that. Like, you didn't even stop or pause, or you didn't have any trouble on camera. You just did it and looked great. And I was like, you know, that actually was pretty simple. I love to teach. And finally, I'm like, well, if anyone's going to do this, it's going to be me. So yeah, that was kind of how the initial idea got planted.
I know for some people, the thought of getting behind the camera, like just that concept, they're like, oh God, no. And for you, came a little bit more natural, of course. So before we go into the nuts and bolts of how to get YouTube going for your office, would you mind sharing what YouTube and your activity on that platform has meant for you and your practice?
Well, for me personally, it has changed my, I get a lot of, I feel a lot of self-worth. I feel like I'm contributing and helping a lot of people. What's really powerful about social media, and I think that, you know, a lot of us, and if you're in eye care and you're kind of even dabbling in social media, you're already in like probably the top 1 to 5% of doctors who are actually utilizing it. But really the power of it that I've been noticing, not just as an advertisement platform for yourself, your skills, your profession, or your practice, is that, you know, in clinic, you can see what, 20 some, maybe 30 patients in a day. But online, I mean, I'm not seeing a patient, but I'm educating thousands and thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of people in a single day about a topic that you know very well of. And it's amazing how many people reach out and say, hey, this is awesome. This helped me a lot. You know, this is exactly what I'm looking for. And it's really sad. It's gratifying. It's great to see that and hear that from people. So there's a good part of that.
And one thing that I really love that you do is that you actually take the time out of your busy schedule and respond to those folks that actually comment on your YouTube page. I mean, there's been countless times that I'll go to a YouTube page and I'll ask an expert a question and they never respond. It's just crickets. And it's very annoying not to get an answer. But you actually take the time to sit down and, you know, just tell the patients or give them an answer of something that they may ask or refer them to, you know, another one of your videos. But I love that you're really answering questions and that you're really pushing eye care forward. You're pushing optometry forward and you're sending these patients or potential patients to come see us as eye care professionals.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, it does take a lot of work. And honestly, I wish I could get to everybody. I try to make an effort when I have, basically, if we ever have free time, to actually go through the comments and try to answer. Sometimes it's just giving a thumbs up or a smiley face, but actually taking that extra time. I think the only thing that if anybody else, any other eye doctors listening and they want to get into the social media, there is some kind of guide rules that you want to be careful of when interacting on social media. And I know the AOA has a kind of a sample guide sheet that just kind of gives about, hey, being HIPAA compliant, of course, and then kind of separating yourself, because a lot of people are going to reach out on social media about they want basically free medical advice. And so from a legal standpoint, you do have to kind of put your foot down and be like, hey, you really should, you know, this is a medical issue. You should see a doctor in your area. If it's an emergency, you should seek medical services. Emergency services. And I do that even on Instagram. I have, you know, this is kind of the pro tip that I do. I typed up something very professional, basically saying, you know, thank you for reaching out. Really happy that you were watching. You know, unfortunately, it's, you know, I cannot give out medical advice through social media. I feel like, you know, it's against my ethics to give out advice without a thorough examination. Thank you for understanding. If there's a general question about eye care, vision products, something I can help you with, I'm happy to help, you know, something like that. And I just save that in a file and basically copy and paste that to everybody who's asking me a medical question. And that either stops the conversation right there, or they are like, okay, well, can you just explain to me, you know, exactly what is a floater, you know, something like that, something generic. So that's kind of what I do. And I think, you know, that's kind of playing it safe. But I feel like for a legal standpoint, that's kind of what we need to do.
I like it. And I mean, that makes perfect sense. I mean, you're basically planting a seed. You're letting the patient know that, hey, you know what? You have a potential medical condition. You need to see an eye care professional in person. That way they can actually give you the best advice, the best opinion, the best patient care possible that's available.
Exactly.
And then also just for these basic conditions like floater, you're just putting out anything that they typically would find online if they wanted to Google it or something like that. You know, I guess the real question is, do you think this same mentality is going to be accepted 5 years down the road from now?
In what way?
Well, let's look at the situation here. What is YouTube? YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world, right behind Google, right? And it's owned by Google. So with that being said, and disruptive technology available, I think that at some point in time, YouTube may be used as a telemedicine platform. I mean, it makes sense, right? There's a lot of online disruptors. We're doing online refractions. I mean, it's only going to be a matter of time. I mean, what are your thoughts in regards to this?
You know, there, I see that, and I know that there's a lot of, even here, like in Minnesota, I had a primary care doctor in my chair that I was seeing for an examination. We dilated him. I left. I came back. When I came back to the room, he was seeing a patient on his phone and treating them for pink eye. And we both kind of laughed at that. And I had to kind of bite my tongue because I kind of wanted to give him a lecture on like, hey, did you put fluorescein in the eye? How do you know they don't have herpes simplex? You know, there's a lot of issues there. And I think certainly as the world is changing rapidly fast, I know that the whole online presence of medicine, there's going to be a clash at some point where ethically we have to recognize where premium care comes into place. You know, if you break your leg, you don't want to be looking up on YouTube how to fix it. You need to go to the ER.
I hope not. The same thing with eye care, too.
You know, unfortunately, companies and marketing has really grabbed on to the fact that they can sway the public or they can change the minds of everybody on like what is science. There's a lot of, you know, I don't like the term fake news, but there's a lot of fake science. Everybody and their brother can take a picture they find online, make up a statistic and say, hey, did you know that taking a teaspoon of dish soap cures your cough? You know, it's something random that just sounds ridiculous. But there's people who will see that and think, you know, that maybe I'll try that. And it's pretty sad.
I personally agree with you. I mean, I've seen those commercials. I can't remember if it's Cigna or Aetna. I mean, they straight up advertise this woman sitting out of her lake house having a doctor's appointment. But all those telemedicine right now, ethically, we can't do past triaging. And if you, what you're doing is completely ethical in that. Patient reaches out to you and says, I'm having this red eye. What do you think it is? And you say, you need to see a doctor. You know, triaging and telling people when they need to go to the doctor and if it's, you know, something that's more of a benign condition and whatever. But most of the time, like 99% of the time with eye care, it's going to be you need to go into the eye doctor to have an exam done so we can find out what's wrong.
Yep. There's so many variables.
And I don't see until there's some way for us to do much more powerful imaging and assessment over a platform that we can do anything ethically except for triage over telemedicine.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about how to get started, because we have the luxury of having you as an expert here. And many people, even just past setting up an account, are now like, okay, and then what do I do?
Right.
So would you mind, Dr. Allen, walking us through step by step how to get started with a YouTube channel?
Sure. Well, first thing, YouTube is owned by Google, so you need a Google account. So if you don't have a Google email or anything like that, pretty easy to get one. It's free. Just go to Google and hit, you know, basically sign up. So when you get into YouTube, basically, you know, as soon as you set up an account and you find a name, kind of some just early pro tips for everybody. When you're trying to decide the name of your YouTube channel, you know, if you're trying to just name it off of your clinic, then hopefully your clinic's name isn't already taken. somebody may already have that name. As an example, my channel is called Dr. I Health. It was just three terms. My buddy who's in digital marketing is like, just pick three terms that describe what you want people to remember you. I want people to know that I'm a doctor, that it's about the eyes, and that it's about keeping them healthy. So Dr. I Health. Unfortunately, Dr. DR was taken. So I had to spell out the word doctor. And then I cross-referenced that to make sure that the .com was available. So I own the domain. You know, you can go further than that if you want to make sure that the Instagram account's available, Facebook's available. You can kind of go through that. So if you're planning this out ahead, you can kind of start off there. But to really get videos up and going, if you look at the top, there's a little spot where it says upload. And you basically just go there. It shows like a little camera sign with a single plus symbol there. It'll say create a video or post. And you basically click on that and it'll say upload video. So once you have a video to upload and you've shot it, you simply click the upload video and it'll give you a bunch of options to what file you want to upload. So that's the very basic thing. Of course, shooting the video is a whole other thing in itself. Now, for anybody who's just starting off and they're just thinking, okay, I want to get into it. Maybe you're thinking you don't want to be as fancy as what my channel's doing. You don't want to get into the editing. All you need, you don't need a fancy camera. You don't need a fancy microphone. Don't need editing software. All you need is your phone. If you have a cell phone, you have the power to shoot a good video and just go ahead and post it on there. And you know, that's basically all you really need. It's fantastic.
Awesome. For those that already have a YouTube account and have been on for a few months or a few years and want to step their game up a tad bit more, what recommendations do you have for a camera, for a microphone, for editing software, for those that want to take it to the next level?
Yes. So, you know, I think if you start off the way I did, you'll probably end up going down the path, the same path I did. You can just type into YouTube, best camera for YouTube, and you'll see a buddy of mine named Sean Cannell. He has a channel called Think Media. And so honestly, I found him when I started this. I'm like, okay, I'm going to make a YouTube channel. I need to know a camera. I thought the exact asked the same question. I'm like, what camera do I use? So I went on YouTube and typed it in and found him. And basically followed some of his advice, stumbled and kind of binged watch a lot of his videos. And kind of just learned it from there. I had to kind of cross-reference a lot of other information, but basically I just did my own research to figure out what good camera to use, what good microphone to use, what good lighting to use, and then how to use it. The camera that I use is a Canon SL2. It's kind of the cheaper of the good Canon cameras. It's good enough where it shoots high-definition video. It doesn't shoot in 4K. But it shoots 1080p or high definition. It's got fairly good motion tracking. So if I move around on the camera, it'll still follow my face. And, you know, for lenses, even just the standard kit lens that most cameras come in, that they come with that lens, works great for up close shots and far away shots. You just kind of have to learn how to use it. And then as far as microphone, most cameras have a built-in microphone that works okay, but that's a kind of a power tip for people trying to really up their video is sound. Because if the video is poor quality, as long as it has good content and you're providing good information, people will watch it. But as soon as you have really bad audio, people are going to leave right away. So that's a good thing, I think, is to invest in a good microphone. I do have a Rode video mic, which hooks up right to the camera. I actually have two of them. I started off with a regular Rode mic, which I'm using right now as my mic here for the podcast. And it sounds good, but with most digital cameras, so I use a DSLR camera, it kind of has some problems with the gain. So the sound wasn't quite what I was looking for probably the first 6 months of videos. And if you go back and watch the older videos, you can tell that there's a little bit more of a hissing sound with some of the videos, more of an echo. And then I finally upgraded to the Rode VideoMic Pro, which has a couple of features which allow you to kind of bypass that. That's one of the things that I really like about that mic. As far as lighting goes, the best lighting you can get is just from your window. If you just set it up right and you have good lighting coming through the window, that's some of the best lighting you can get for any video. If you're shooting more at nighttime here in Minnesota, it's dark most of the year. So when it came to investing in lighting, You know, I got a ring light, which I use for a lot of videos. Those are what a lot of the kind of beauty YouTube channels use. You'll see a lot of those channels use those because it makes your complexion look really good. So I got a ring light, and those can vary from anywhere from, you know, $150 to like $600, depending how fancy again you want it to be. Lighting kits. There's some budget lighting kits that work really well. Again, you can find a lot of this information again, just by going on YouTube and typing in best lighting for YouTube. And you'll find a bunch of other people who review it. But of course, I recommend everybody kind of do your own research, you know, see what Amazon reviews are like, kind of cross-reference things like that. And then just you kind of have to see what it all turns out to be.
I know obviously it depends quite a bit on how serious people are getting about their YouTube. But in general, what kind of budget do you think a doctor should have if they're really thinking, I'm going to invest in this platform?
If you're going to make regular content, consistent content. You know, I'm putting out videos at least every week, maybe a couple, two or three videos a week. And I knew I wanted the videos to be a certain quality. I've invested close to maybe $5,000 in all of my equipment. As far as, you know, I think if somebody honestly just wanted to even do like, even not even half that, you know, I think honestly the camera, the lighting, you know, camera's going to cost somewhere between $500 and $800. So $500 and $800 for the camera, maybe one extra lens is going to be $250. So you're looking at about maybe $1,000 there. Lighting, probably another $300 on top of that. The microphone, another $300. The editing software, depending what you want to use, you can go really budget and use a free one. But if you want something that runs smoother and has more fancy options, you're going to play, you know, again, probably another, you know, let's say $300 on top of that. So I think, you know, maybe $2,500 you could invest in as a clinic and or as just a solo entrepreneur. And you can, as long as you're willing to work and put the time in, you can really make that investment work for you.
So if one makes the investment, they get all the equipment. What about the next level? Marketing all the content that you've put out there. I mean, what are you doing about that? The last thing I want to do is put out material and no one watches it except for myself. What tips do you have?
You know, a lot of it is momentum. You know, I started July of last year, so it hasn't even been a year now. Certainly, there's some really cool, powerful things about YouTube. Two of them are that YouTube is the second largest search engine behind Google. And I think you guys kind of talked about that in your other podcast that you guys did the other week. Google's the largest search engine, YouTube is the second largest search engine. So just getting your videos to show up that of something that people are searching for is a big power tool. And we refer to that as ranking in search. Then if you can get yourself to rank in search, people are going to find you easily. But then also making a video that will be suggested. So most of my views actually don't even come from people finding me in search engine. They find me because they watch somebody else's video. And if you scroll through YouTube over to the side, there's all these other videos. So you have all these other videos. And if you have like the picture next to your thumbnail is the picture. If your picture stands out, if your picture is different, it catches their eye and you have a good title and a good thumbnail, then people are going to stop. They're going to get bored watching the video they're currently watching. And they're going to say, oh, what's this? This guy's talking about eye floaters. I've got eye floaters. Click. And then boom, that video shows. Then suddenly they're watching my video. So the majority of my videos are actually suggested to people. And I get a lot from that. The other ways to, of course, market your information is just using the other social media platforms. So on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. Those are kind of the big ones that I'm trying to use. The other kind of cool things is that, like, even in my clinic, because these videos are such good information, now I don't actively promote my channel to my patients, but if I have a patient who does have a lot of questions about glaucoma, or maybe they're like, hey, my grandmother's got glaucoma, I don't really know what it is, I'll explain it there in the clinic, but I'll let them know, like, hey, I have a whole video series on glaucoma. It's on YouTube. If you want to check it out, I have a business card written up. And on that business card, I have like my logo, I have like my titles, my YouTube URL. And then on the back side of the card, I have not only a search bar that I write the name of the video I want or the term I want them to search, but then I have like the, I have just like all the YouTube sign, the Instagram sign, the Twitter sign. So I basically kind of self-promote my own video to some of my patients who may benefit from it.
Daryl, I know I don't have to say anything, but we love this so much. And it's something that we've been talking about for years, but like having that business card with all your social media channels that you can talk about in your office. Oh my gosh, because those patients are already loyal to you. They will definitely go watch your video. They are definitely going to tell their family members about your video. And that is going to just continue to blossom and grow for you and get more people actually coming in to your chair as your patients.
I, you know, ideally, you know, I don't even market because it, the funny thing is that this channel is separate from my clinic. It's not even my clinic. I'm an associate doctor at our clinic. So it's actually completely separate. I don't do any of the social media for the clinic at this time. I definitely promote myself for those services. Right now, the clinic is going through some other kind of priority changes. And in time, I'm sure it'll shift that direction. You know, over time, my goal is to eventually, buy into the practice. But right now, as an associate doctor, and I knew that from my standpoint as an associate, when I went on this venture, I needed to keep it separate. In a couple of my videos, I shout out to where I'm located, as well as in some of the YouTube descriptions, I've been including like, hey, I'm now seeing patients at this location. But even before I actually was advertising more of what I was doing, some of my videos, I have people from around the country. Like I had a guy from California the other week call our clinic to ask me questions. I have all over the country, there's people. I have a patient who drives over an hour to come see me specifically because she found me on YouTube. She had no idea who I was, but she found me on YouTube because I explained astigmatism so well. She wanted to come specifically see me.
5 years ago, definitely a decade ago, as associate doctors, many of us were concerned about having our own identities and our own brands online. I know talking to Dr. Justin Bazan, he mentioned it was a huge issue at his original employer, and actually is what made them sever ties because he was blogging about optometry. Now, though, people realize, you know, if you're an associate doctor listening to this and thinking, man, should I be putting myself out there? It is really, really good for your employer and your boss for you to build a community around you. So I don't think anyone looks at this as a negative anymore because it's growing seats in the chairs. And we should all of us embrace whatever we can do to grow the business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing that I also love is that once you have that digital footprint online, your patients are always going to follow you. So if you're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it may be, and those patients are following you, if you have some new opportunity that arise, you can always count on them to follow you at that different location or different practice or whatever business venture you may have.
Yep. Well, let's talk about what's next, because obviously you just started this YouTube channel in July. You haven't even been doing this for a year and it's had huge success already. But do you have any ideas or things in the work for 2019 that you know you want to accomplish this year?
Well, there's a lot of white space out there in terms of eye care information. And I am really focused on really hitting major topics, big series. Like I have a series on blue light protection that's going to come out here in a couple of weeks. I have another ginormous series covering both AMD as well as eye vitamins, kind of the truth of eye vitamins. There's a lot of information about that. When the summer starts really rolling around, there'll be a whole lot more on sunglasses, polarization, things like that. And then it's just going to continue to grow. The scary thing is once you really get into this and you realize how much there is opportunity in social media, especially for eye care, because honestly, there's just not many people doing it. I have so many ideas. I lose sleep at night because I have so many ideas. There's so much good stuff to do. So many videos ideas I need to make. The hardest part is honestly just getting the time to do it. You know, and one thing we didn't touch on earlier was editing. But if you're going to do any sort of editing in the video space like I'm doing, that's the longest time. You know, it takes me like 6 hours to edit one video, and that's me rushing it. I'm actually in the process now of actually trying to find and hire an editor because I just want to keep making movies. I want to keep making these videos and get them out. but I need someone else to edit it because that's the biggest time consuming factor. But I'm going to keep making more videos. I'm kind of branching out and speaking more with brands at this time. So my channel is actually kind of hitting that point now where brands are paying attention and they want to sponsor the channel or some educational videos and things like that. So it's pretty exciting.
Well, congratulations for all that success that you've had so soon. And I know from looking into video, Daryl, I know it is a lot of work. So keep up everything that you're doing. And I know how much you're giving of your personal time to be able to educate the public in this greater good. But I'm thrilled to hear that within the industry and beyond, people are paying attention.
It is pretty cool to see hard work pay off, right? I think we all like to see that. But yeah, with the amount of time it does take, it is basically a second full-time job. I know I don't have any children at this time, so I can't imagine being able to even get out a single, you know, I'm doing, you know, at least one video a week is maybe doable if you don't want to edit videos and you don't have children or much else. But if it's something that you're passionate about, you love educating the public and you like video, then it might be something for you to kind of step into.
For our listeners, our followers, our Defocus Media family that's listening to this podcast, if they want to learn more about this or contact you personally, what's the best contact information, social media handle, email? What's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Well, you know, they can, of course, just subscribe to the channel. They can comment on any single video, and chances are I'm going to catch it and respond to it. Certainly, you can contact me by my email. My company is actually Vision Excellence Eye Consulting at Gmail. I know it's a little bit long. You can also just email me at drieyehealth@gmail.com, and it may take me a little bit longer to respond to it, but I'll eventually get to it. So you can always contact me there. But I'm sure if you comment on any of my videos, I will certainly get to it.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast. And remember, we keep it 2020 around here. Pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.